morning, everybody. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and lay down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Matthew chapter 13. Verses 1 to 9. Matthew 13, 1 to 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The last verse is 3 John chapter 2. It's just one chapter, so it's, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the morning, your presence in the room, the worship, your word, the songs. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, this morning. Minister to us. Give us what we don't deserve, we pray this morning, of your abundant grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I would like to speak on the subject of biblical prosperity. What is biblical prosperity? Now, many people understand prosperity, even in the world, those who are unsaved, you know, they wish you a prosperous new year, right? And we are going to look at the general understanding of prosperity. What is prosperity? I want to be healed. So in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, the leper comes and says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me." And Jesus says, "I'm willing, I will heal you." Or prosperity is food. John 6, 25 to 27, after the miracles of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what did Jesus say? "You are not seeking me because of the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Or signs in John 11, 47. They said of him after Lazarus was raised from the dead, "This man works many signs." Or prosperity could be looked at somebody who can control the wind and the sea. In Mark 4, 41, they said of him, "Who is this that the wind and the sea obey him?" Or it could be said of approaching God for money. In Acts chapter 3, 2 and 3, the person who was crippled, what was he asking the disciples for? He was asking alms. And in John 14, 27, what is the world asking for if it wants prosperity? The world is asking for peace. Right? This is natural understanding. And many times we also have this understanding. God bless me. Correct? Bless my family. Give us good health. If I am an older person, give my daughter slash son a good spouse. Right? Give us babies, children, good job, good relationships, good friends, good church. It's all a part of natural understanding of prosperity. But this is very, very different from the true understanding of biblical prosperity. This is very different. And all these things God can do. It's not that God can't do it. Whether you want a healing or you need money, you need a good job, all that God can do. There's nothing, no doubt about it. But this is not the understanding of what the Bible is trying to communicate to us. In Luke chapter 5 is an interesting story where Peter has, you know, labored all night and he has caught no fish. And then Jesus comes and says what? After speaking to the multitude, he says what? Cast it to the other side. What does Peter said? Lord, we have labored the whole night. But that last phrase is important. What is that phrase? But at your word. At your word. Right? Because you have said it. That word is rhema. It was like a command. It was a specific instruction. At your word. And so when he casts us, what happens? Right? The nets are full. The nets are so full. Yet guess what? He himself can't pull it. He is calling the neighboring, right? The neighboring people, please come. Please come. Right? Let's not lose the fish. And then a very beautiful thing happens. He falls before Jesus and he says, depart from me, Lord. Right? I am sinful. I am what? Unworthy. Right? Depart from me, Lord. Right? What did Jesus say? It's very interesting what Jesus said. Jesus said this. From now on, you will catch men. You will become a fisher of men. And they forsook all and they followed him. What do we see here? We see here is the correct understanding of biblical prosperity. And what is that correct understanding? The correct understanding of biblical prosperity is this. That when we come to the Bible, God is not giving me what I want. God is not giving me what I am asking for. God is giving me what I don't deserve. Are you understanding? Right? And this is a beautiful picture of the world today, which is striving in religion to reach heaven. Right? Like Peter, we've worked the whole night. And Jesus saying, just believe in me. What? Lord, we worked all, so many years we did candles and this and that. Jesus is saying, just believe in me. I paid for it all. What? I paid for it all. And the moment you believe, guess what happens? You know, this healing and food and signs and all these things doesn't happen. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of me. That is incredible. That is something we can't ask for. That is the third person of the Trinity comes to live inside of me and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13. God is now living where? Inside of me. That is incredible. That must lead us to a place where we must say, Lord, what? I am unworthy, Lord. I am unworthy. I am unworthy that you could come and live in a sinner like me. And that is the reality of each one of our lives this morning, whether you believe it or not. That the Holy Spirit is inside of each one of us when we believed in Christ. And that is grace. What is grace? Lord, I can't believe it. And you know what is the net with all the fishes in it? Whatever is the plural, fish or fishes, whatever. English is a funny language, right? Is representative to me of positional truth. Like when we believe in Jesus, we are not aware of what has happened to us. But when you come to the Bible, there are so many things which have happened to us at the point of salvation. You are completely forgiven, the Bible says. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness in Colossians 1:30 into the kingdom of his dear son. Romans 5:1, you are justified by faith. No more can you be accused in the courtroom of God. Right? You are baptized into the body of Christ. You are made part of the universal body of Christ. And there are so many beautiful positional truths which happen through one decision. How did it happen? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe you didn't believe overnight. Maybe it was a process. In 1 Corinthians 3:8, Paul says, I watered, somebody else, you know, I sowed, somebody else watered, somebody else got the increase. But the day you believed in Jesus Christ, you received the free gift of what? Salvation. We didn't deserve it. He gave it to us freely. Now, there were many people in the Bible who sensed this unworthiness. We see Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:9 and 10. He says, you know, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not called to be worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But God made me an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, in David said this in 2 Samuel 7. In the Davidic covenant, when God is speaking to him, I will build an enduring house. Your seed will continue forever. You know what he says? In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 18, he says this. Who am I, Lord, that you should think so highly of me? Who am I? Isn't that beautiful? So it must. So when you come to the Bible and you understand grace, it will drive you to a place where you and I, we will sense our unworthiness before God. Right? Our what? Our tremendous unworth. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive salvation. I'm not worthy that you should love me so much. But yet God says, you know, I'm making you worthy through my grace. Next, what happens after salvation is this. We come to Matthew chapter 13. Which is a beautiful parable of the sowers. And we see here, there are four types of hearers. What is important to notice here is, the sower is a constant and the seed is a constant. What is it? The sower is the same person, the Son of Man, and the seed is the Word of God. Right? And it is following, it's falling on four different soils. So, just imagine a highway. Okay, just imagine a highway, tarred road, then on the side is what? Stones. Then at the side is thorns. And then there's nice red mud, fertile soil. Okay, just for the illustration. So as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places. They did not have much earth. They sprang up and they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. They had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. Now verse 9 is important. He who has what? Ears to hear, let him hear. Have you ever wondered why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth? What if we had 2 mouths and 1 ear? Right? We can conclude that God wants us to listen more and speak less, right? So he gives the explanation of the parable in Matthew 13 itself. And he says this, if you turn to 13 verse 18. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100, some 60, some 30. Now it's very important for us to understand this first principle, that the offer of salvation is based on God's terms. And what does that mean? That means there is no deal we can cut with God. God says, I am the deal. I paid for it all. You just have to accept. Is that clear? Now, when the walk with God also, the second principle, is based upon His terms. It is not based upon our terms. Are we understanding? So, when we understand that the walk with God is based upon His terms, and we come and we hear the word of God, what happens? Every time you and I, we come to hear the word of God, what happens? We are receiving something that we don't deserve. Are we understanding? Every time we hear the word of God, as we walk with God, we are receiving something that we don't deserve. That must be very clear in our hearts and in our minds. Now, many times this is what happens. In a typical church, we are all hearing the word of God. There are some of us who may have a beautiful experience, full of joy, happy. And then there are some of us could be totally depressed. And there are some of us could be totally hopeless. And sometimes it's like a paradox, that why is it? Is the same Jesus Christ, the same Holy Spirit in each one of us? Why is this happening? Is God being partial? And when you read this passage, it becomes very clear that God is not being partial. God is giving the word, but it is how we receive it which makes the difference. So when you look at this, the first one is on the road. Let's say the seed falls on the tar. The birds come and snatch it. Like, there's a person who doesn't understand the word. So Satan comes and snatches the word and it's gone. Then the next one is, it falls in the where? The stones. Correct? For a while, it takes root. But then there is no soil, and then it withers and dies. So when there is persecution, like initially you hear the word with joy, correct? Wow, that's awesome. But there's when persecution or offense because of the word's sake, that person stumbles. The next one is with the thorns. It grows a little bit. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what happens? They choke the word. But on the last one, it fell on a good ground. And it produced some 30, some 60, some 100. Now in the primary interpretation of this passage, only 1/4 are saved, which is the last set. And out of the 1/4 saved, the fruit is a variable. Some 30%, some 60, some 100. But in an application of this passage, we also could be like this. Like the first hearer is like this. Typical hearer. Like, look at me. Have you been there? I've been there many times. Right? The word of God comes and is what? Snatched away. Right? Being indifferent, it doesn't matter. Oh, my appointment is more important. I hope he finishes fast. Right? The word comes and is snatched away. The second application is what? The stones, right? Emotion. Wow, awesome. Right? 3 days later, one trial happens. Gone. Why is God doing this to me? What? Emotional hearers. The third type is what? Right? You know, is the thorns. Yeah, great. This is this. But then the cares of this world and the what? Deceitfulness of riches. They choke the word. And the fourth one, who receives it in the good soil. So what do we see here? Three things we see here. Is the condition of the heart. First thing, there needs to be humility. Second thing, there needs to be faith. And the third thing, there needs to be a decision. First thing is humility. What is humility? When we understand grace and we come to the church, or when we read our Bibles and we think in our minds, Lord, you are everything. I don't deserve to be here. I want to hear you. What happens? My heart is prepared to receive the word. The second thing is faith. God tells me something, I believe it. Right? And the third thing is what? Decision. Now this is what happens to many of us. Many of us tell each other, please pray for me. Right? What are we doing? We are taking following. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. God is saying to me, they don't have to pray for you. You have to make the decision. I have showed you what my word says. Just make the decision. Them praying for you for the next 100 years is not going to change your decision. You have to make the what? Decision. And because we don't make the decision, we don't have what? Fruit in our lives. And this is really important. God desires that we would enjoy this life. I have not only come to give them life, but I've come to give it what? Abundantly. Isn't that beautiful? So all scripture is just not, it's doctrine, it's teaching, it's reproof, being convicted, it's correction. When God tells me I'm wrong, and it's instruction in righteousness. The many times the word of God will offend me, but it is for my good, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, furnished unto all good works. See, you are not here just to hear and go, or get your little prayer answered. You are here to become a what? Disciple. Your children are the next generation. Their children will be the next generation. And we are taking in the word, and it passes on to the next generation. In 2 Timothy 2, your faith which was in your grandmother, which was in your mother, and that is now in you. In Judges chapter 2, there arose a generation after Joshua which did not know who God was. And that you would go and disciple, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This is biblical prosperity. Which means, it's just not a prosperity of bodily health or having wealth, but it's a prosperity of the inside, in the soul, where I can be through a difficult situation and I can have the joy of the Lord. I can be in a complex situation and I can be at rest. Why? Because I am constantly what? Hearing the word of God. John 15, 4 and 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, right, bears fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. In John 15, the first 11 verses, it's just God and you. There's no other person. It is possible this morning to be totally joyful, to be totally peaceful, and to be totally filled with God's love, and to be totally relaxed without anybody doing anything to you, if you understand the power of the word of God. Are we understanding? So in closing today, you know, when we were in Goa, the foreigners would come and they would wear minimum clothes and they were on the beach and they would be under the sun. All of us Goans, we would wear like long sleeve shirts and cap and trying to, you know, protect ourselves from the sun. So one day I asked a white woman, like, what is it? What is it that you'll go under the sun? And she said, our skin is a little lifeless and dead, so we want some color on our skin. Right? And so they come all the way to get under the sun. It's a similar principle in the Bible. It doesn't matter what your life is all about. Just come under the hearing of the word of God. Just come. Your life could be hell. Just come. You just keep coming and you just keep hearing. And you just keep hearing. And God will speak to you. And in one day that eureka moment will happen. Yes! I got it, right? The fruit will start coming out. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It will all start coming out. Because what is the greatest blessing? The greatest blessing is not what you can ask God for. The greatest blessing is God telling you and me that I am going to make you like my son Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? To be conformed to his image, to have his thinking, to have his heart, to speak like him, to think like him, to do like him. And this is something which you and I could never have thought about. Are you excited this morning? Amen.